2 days remain for George Bush and John Kerry to convince a handful of voters in a handful of states to make up their minds and decide whether the Republican or the Democrat should be president of the United States for the next 4 years. President Bush took his case to voters in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan yesterday. He flew to Florida late last night, and he goes to Ohio tonight. Massachusetts Senator John Kerry focused his weekend campaigning on Wisconsin, Iowa, Ohio, and New Hampshire. He heads to Florida this evening. Doyle McManus is Washington Bureau Chief for the Los Angeles Times and a regular guest on our show, and he's in the studio. Welcome back, Doyle.
Good morning, Leanne.
You know, conspiracy theorists have speculated for months about an October surprise, some expecting the Bush administration would magically pull Osama bin Laden out of a hat in the days before the election, and on Friday, he shows up himself in a video. Do you think this late appearance in the campaign will actually make much of a difference in the outcome of the election?
Well, like so many other things this year, Leanne, it's impossible to predict. I'll argue both sides of this one. The conventional wisdom is that the core issue, the core challenge at the end of a campaign is to define the issue. What issue is uppermost in voters' minds? And the conventional wisdom is if terrorism is uppermost in their minds, a lot of those undecided voters are going to head back toward the tried and true the president they're familiar with, the president who's been fighting terrorism, George W. Bush. But it is a double-edged message, as the Democrats on Senator Kerry's plane have been at pains to emphasize. The fact that Osama bin Laden is still out there roaming around also resonates with one of Senator Kerry's themes. And finally, the undecided number in this race is so small. So many people have already chosen upsides before Osama. I think Osama peaked too late.
It's a merry-go-round among, I mean, just half a dozen or so states. Are the candidates saying or doing anything different this weekend to draw voters in those states?
Not really. It's striking how, at the end of this race, it's the same race it was at the beginning. It's in if you really want to strip it down, it's a referendum on George W. Bush's presidency, for or against. So we're hearing the same themes from both sides. President Bush saying he's steady and the other fella is a flip-flopper. Senator Kerry saying it hasn't worked on foreign policy and it hasn't worked on the economy. It's not only the same themes, it's mostly even the same states. We're still talking, as we were earlier, about Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Florida. Although there have been some new states, even Hawaii. Dick Cheney had to go to Hawaii. Al Gore had to go to Hawaii. Minnesota is a battleground state for the first time in a long time. So there are some novelties, but really this is back to the fundamentals.
Do you expect the candidates to each try to stay very close to those familiar messages, or might there be some other surprise accusation or claim?
I may have to eat these words, but I don't think we're going to have too many more surprises. One of the dangers at the end of a campaign, in the last 48 hours, is a surprise can backfire. It can look too political. And so even on the Osama video, you saw both campaigns trying to figure out how far do we run with this. And neither one of them politicized it to the extent that they might have.
Now, what about Ralph Nader? Is his candidacy potentially playing a role in the outcome in any of the states?
On paper, it may look like Ralph Nader plays an outcome. For example, in Florida or Minnesota, he may get enough votes that will appear to swing it one way or the other. I'm actually going to say no, because I think anybody who now votes for Ralph Nader after an election that has been so passionate and so closely contested, that Nader voter wasn't going to vote for either of the two major parties, no matter what happened.
Let's talk a little bit more about the undecideds, the battleground states. I mean, many states are lopsided. The polls are in favor of one candidate or another. Many of these battleground states remain a statistical toss-up. But there's been a lot of voter registration, enormous, and get-out-the-vote drives by both parties. And, you know, a lot of people don't cooperate when pollsters call. Could that all come together to make the polls mediocre indicators of what might actually happen on Tuesday?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think in many ways that is going to be the most unusual and dramatic phenomenon we're going to see this week. The largest turnout in percentage terms probably since the 60s. And that's confounding a lot of political scientists who've made their careers saying that voter participation was going down relentlessly and could never come back again. It's really throwing a lot of those models into the trash can, and there's going to be a lot of political science theses written about this. The other thing to remember is as we all look at the polls, every poll at this point is within its own margin of error. There is no pollster who will go out there and predict who is going to win this. And finally, pollsters will admit that their own models on who really is going to turn out are weaker than anything else they measure. So we absolutely don't know what we're going to see on Tuesday.
Okay, look back over the past year. What do you see as the critical moments that got us here to the eve of Election Day?
Well, let me go back to my sort of main theme, which is this is turning out again to be a referendum on the incumbent, George W. Bush. I think the biggest thing that happened in the Bush presidency was 9/11, and the most important political judgment of the Bush presidency was the president's decision after 9/11 to govern from the right, to be a conservative president, and not to go too far to enlarge his coalition. And that's why this is so polarizing. Second event that happened, the debates. Senator Kerry was slipping all during August and September. The debates got him back in the race and turned it into a real horse race. That was the point at which he sort of legitimized himself. But let me skip to a slightly different point on critical moments. I can't predict who's going to win, but I can predict what journalists are going to say after the results to explain it. Because journalists are terrible. We love to give you a single cause for a very complicated phenomenon. So here's my fearless prediction on what the key moments were. If President Bush wins, it will be because of Osama bin Laden. Now, that may or may not be true, but that's the explanation you'll hear. If President Bush loses, and if he loses Ohio, it will be because Jon Snow, his Treasury Secretary, at one point called job losses in Ohio a myth. And poor Jon Snow will end up being the Republican Party's scapegoat for 4 years.
Doyle McManus is Washington Bureau Chief for the Los Angeles Times. Thanks for coming in, Doyle.
Thank you, Leanne.